Resurrection Sunday positive affirmation. I am what the Word of God says I am. Are you ready? I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. You want to try it in Spanish? Okay. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. I think you guys are getting that. Pretty soon we'll just do it in Spanish, okay? No. And then German. Yeah, one of these days we'll break out in German. Well, Ishtar is a strange word from which Easter came. And by the way, especially for those of you who listen to this teaching after today, there's no such thing as Easter, okay? Easter is a word that came out of the dregs of the world, and it really has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with God, and it better have nothing to do with you, because it's simply not Christian. Whereas the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, and that's where our focus is. So, yeah, we might run around and put little eggs out for the little kitties just so they have fun, but it has nothing to do with Christ. Sure, we might put a basket on a bed just for fun, but it has nothing to do with Christ. What has all to do with Christ is that God raised him from the dead. In many Christian teachings, you will see it noted that Jesus raised himself from the dead, and that's a lie. Because Jesus died. God raised Jesus from the dead. And so any reference I ever give to the resurrection will always be in that light. You may choose to believe that Jesus is God and that God died and God woke himself up and whatever nonsense you want to contrive, but I will never teach that. And so any teachings that I have, especially in this one, it will always be in reference to God having raised Jesus from the dead. God, the Father, having raised Jesus, the Son of God, from the dead. And I will never teach that God died and that God got himself up. That's just a load of malarkey, and there's no biblical reference whatsoever for it. What happened after Jesus died? His burial. John chapter 19, let's start in verse 30. Today I want to take you into what happened after Jesus died, specifically his burial. Now, Resurrection Sunday is all about Jesus already having been raised from the dead. Well, there's all kinds of subject matter that we could look at. And I chose what happened after Jesus died, his burial, for today. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a section of scripture, and then I'm going to list some points. And by the time we finish with this, hopefully you'll remember those points and have learned something new and really cool. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation for Passover, that the body should not remain upon the cross, it was not a cross. I guess I better make that point now. Jesus was not hung on a cross with his arms outstretched to the right and to the left. Jesus was nailed to a stake, and it's the Greek word staros. All you have to do is look it up. He was crucified with his hands above his head, And the teachings of the cross are erroneous. They didn't use crosses, they used stakes. And so the pictures that we see in Christendom, they're nice, I guess, but they're not true because the Bible's true. And so when we read the word cross, keep in mind that he was on a stake with his hands above his head and the nail went through both hands together. And his feet were tied together and there was a notch cut out in the stake so that his feet could rest against that. Otherwise, he couldn't support himself. And so that's what he was hung on. That the body should not remain on the stake on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was in high day. Now I've got to tell you one other thing. Pretty soon we'll be able to read through all this. But there were two Sabbaths that week, and this is what confuses people. They don't understand that there was the Wednesday Passover Sabbath, which was kind of like when you have a real special religious day in the middle of the week. Christmas in our time might be on a Wednesday, for instance. And then you've got your Sabbath on the weekend. And then you go to church. So there are actually two. And by the way, Sabbath generally was on Saturday. But this was a high day Sabbath, and it was very specifically Wednesday. Okay. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with his spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Well, in this section, we learn many, many things. In fact, I could spend hours on this section alone, but I'm not going to, because we're studying what happened after Jesus died, his burial. Number one, we see that Jesus gave up the ghost. He himself gave himself. No man took his life. He gave his life for you, for us, that we may have eternal life. Number two, some of the Jews wanted to get those bodies off the stakes because Passover was to begin shortly. Each day began at sunset. So that could be around 6 o'clock. Okay. Our day begins when? Midnight. But theirs began at dinner time, sunset or so. Well, Passover was going to begin at sunset, and he had been crucified sometime after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they wanted to get him down because if they didn't and they touched a dead body, they wouldn't be able to do Passover. They'd be called unclean. So they went to Pilate and asked that their legs be broken, even Jesus. And Pilate agreed and sent soldiers to do this. Number three, the first two to one side of Jesus had their legs broken. But when the soldiers came to Jesus, they found that he was dead already. This is how we know there were more than three crucified with Jesus, or more than three crucified, period. There's another word in another gospel, the word midst. And so you learn this in the foundational class. There were a total of 5 men crucified, Jesus and 4 others, just to let you know. But they came to the first, to the second, right in order. They got to Jesus, number 3, and they found out he was dead already. And so that's when the soldier pierced his side. The fourth point is the soldier pierced Jesus' side with a spear, but he did not break his legs. And blood and water came out of his body when this happened. Blood and water. The people saw this and knew then that Jesus was a man like you and me. Heretofore, they could have said he was a god or something, or some spirit being or something. But as soon as they saw blood and water, that's what man had. Very interesting. It was made visible for all to see according to the prophecy of the scriptures. Well, the next section we're going to pick up in verse 38. A couple of Jesus' close friends took Jesus' body for to bury. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he was afraid, and he did this secretly, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. Now, the way all this is translated, it's all muddled together, but I'm going to unmuddle it for you. So now we got another guy coming on the scene, Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. There you have something, by night. So it's different timing altogether. You got to learn to read what's written. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of it. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, that's a tomb, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So what it looks like, we've got something mentioned about Joseph, and then we've got Nicodemus, and then we've got they doing stuff. Well, it just muddles it all together. And I'll preface it with, there were actually two burials. Joseph buried Jesus, and then Nicodemus and the they buried Jesus. Now keep that in mind as we go through this, and that'll help you keep all of this sorted out. We're going to turn to Luke right now, chapter 23. So we just learned that both Joseph of Arimathea and also Nicodemus buried Jesus. Well, what happened there? In Luke, we learn of the same with a bit more detail. Luke 23, verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was not one of the bad guys. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Key point. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre, tomb, that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, as the Sabbath drew on. The Sabbath here meaning Passover, Thursday. Well, no one else is mentioned here. Joseph went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a sepulchre. We learn two things from this verse. Number one, Joseph received the body of Jesus first and was the one who took him off the stake. Number two, Joseph wrapped Jesus' body in linen and placed it in the sepulchre, the tomb. Nothing else was used to prepare the body. Why? Because Joseph himself waited for the kingdom of God. He believed that Jesus was going to get up in 3 days and didn't see the need to prepare his body according to the custom. Isn't that something? Mark chapter 15. If you've ever heard of a harmony of the Gospels, this is what we're doing. We're harmonizing the Gospels, so to speak. Mark tells us a bit more of the details involved with Pilate. Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, a lot of people knew this, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, that's the soldier over 100 soldiers, centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Is he dead yet? Is he dead already? And when they knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. That's all we learned there. Couple more points. Number one, Pilate was really surprised that Jesus was dead already. He didn't believe Joseph, so he asked the centurion. It was only after his death was confirmed that he agreed to give the body to Joseph. Number two, the sepulcher Joseph used had never before been used. It was brand new. Joseph had made this for Jesus sometime prior. He was a wealthy man and could afford to do this. All that Joseph did, keep in mind, he did secretly for fear of the Jews. We learned that in Matthew, or in, I believe, John, sorry. And number three, once he placed Jesus in the sepulcher, wrapped him with the linen, he rolled a stone over the opening, and he had a stone just for this purpose. He was in and out. Matthew chapter 27. We learn some very interesting points from Matthew as well. When you study the Bible like this, you actually have to be patient. And it might be hard for you to be patient sometimes. You actually have to take the time and read and reread one section and then go to another and another and another. And then you go back and forth until you can put it together. And anybody can do this, but you have to be patient. If you let your mind fly around and you don't settle down, you can't do it. You have to force yourself under control. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Well, number one, he didn't tell us what Jesus said, but we already learned that from John, it is finished. Number two, we learned that the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. Well, this was an act impossible for man to do, because we're talking about a veil of the temple 90 feet tall and about a yard thick. And God did that, but he didn't start at the bottom. He started at the top. Only God could have done this. Number three, we read of graves being open and many bodies of the saints arising and going into the holy city of Jerusalem and appearing unto many. None of this is in the text. Ignore it all. It's nonsense. The centurion saw the earthquake and feared greatly. That's number four. Saying that Jesus truly was the Son of God. In another gospel, one of the soldiers also said that Jesus was a righteous man. Number five, a lot of the women were still there watching Jesus and the things going on. They were afar off, but they were paying attention. And they saw Joseph take Jesus' body. Number six, Joseph wrapped Jesus' body in linen, placed it in the tomb that he had made for Jesus, and then rolled a great stone over the opening and departed. Well, from these accounts, we learn that Joseph only wrapped Jesus' body in linen. He did nothing else. Placed him in the tomb, rolled a stone over the opening, and then split. He departed. He really didn't spend a lot of time doing this either, because Passover was ready to begin and he didn't want to be unclean and miss it. And he also believed that Jesus was going to get up from the dead in 3 days, so he didn't figure he needed to do any more. And he knew what the custom was. Well, the women saw what Joseph did, and Nicodemus saw what Joseph did. John chapter 19. Now we're going to start putting this stuff together. I've read you the accounts, and we're going to pull out the parts that go together. So I hope you understand that Joseph of Arimathea got Jesus' body first, wrapped it in linen, and put it in a tomb that he had made himself. Okay? That's all he did. But there were other people doing stuff now. Nicodemus and these just happened to be the women. John 19, verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Now, when did Joseph do it? It was before sunset. Nicodemus came first to Jesus by night. He didn't go to Pilate either. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of it. Well, what did Nicodemus do with all those spices? 100 pounds of spices? That's a lot of spices, folks. Some of y'all only weigh 100 pounds in here. Some of you more. Okay, I know I do. That's like two of me, okay? So we know what now Nicodemus had done, different than what Joseph had done. And Joseph finished his job before sunset, the beginning of Passover, but Nicodemus didn't. So clearly, you should see that there's two separate scenarios developing here. Nicodemus and the women didn't finish what they were doing before sunset. The burial custom was to wrap a body in a spice and a hardening mixture so that it became encased in a hardened shell, and it was anywhere up to a foot thicker than the thickness of the body. It was just amazing what they did. They'd leave an opening around the head and or face, depending on how they did it, but everything else would be wound, wrapped, coated, and hardened in this 100 pounds of spices and hardening mixture. Just amazing. So if Jesus weighed 185 pounds, then add another 100 pounds of spices plus the hardening mixture, we're looking at probably getting close to 300, 350 pounds of stuff laying there. Just amazing. And they did this when a person died. Well, in order for this to have happened, Nicodemus had to have taken Jesus' body out of Joseph's handmade tomb, taken the hours to finish the wrapping, and then put it in a tomb again. There's no telling how long this took, but you can imagine that it took some time, at least for the substance to harden enough for them to handle and get back into a tomb. Okay? Matthew chapter 27. But I'm going to give you a clue as to how long it took. This is fun, isn't it? Matthew 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, which was when Jesus was crucified, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, squirming around, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away," which, by the way, they already did, just to get him out of Joseph's tomb into the other one, "and say unto the people," that tells you too how secretly Joseph did this thing. But the women still saw it, so they knew where he went. "He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, 'Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can, you bums.' So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." I don't like those guys, okay? Well, we learn what happened on the day following Jesus' death and burial from this. Number one, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate and asked for guards. This tells us that they all knew where Jesus was buried by that time. They wanted guards until 3 days were passed. They probably didn't even know what Joseph had done. They seemed to be aware of what Nicodemus had done, though, Nicodemus and the woman. By the way, it takes more than one person to wrap a person like they did. Pilate agreed and sent guards to set a watch. And number two, from this, we learned that the preparation of Jesus' body according to the burial custom of that time took place within less than 24 hours. He was fast into the grave by the time the watch was set. Now in Luke chapter 23, Luke tells us more detail of the preparation of Jesus' body. Luke 23, starting in verse 54, "And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments." Now you learn that these women had a grand part to play in this. Number one, they followed Jesus the entire time. They saw where Joseph put Jesus and how, did you notice that? How his body was laid. And they didn't like that at all. What? Just in linen clothes? Not Jesus. Consequently, number two, they went home, picked up prepared spices and ointments, and went back and prepared Jesus' body, probably with Nicodemus, because we see that he was part of this too in the other gospel. And number three, the women knew of Jesus' impending death, and they had time to prepare these items. What is clear from all this is that the first tomb of Jesus wasn't used for very long. The women, and probably Nicodemus, took Jesus' body, prepared it according to the burial custom, and put it somewhere else. Well, now you have to ask, what did the men and women see when they looked into the tomb to find Jesus? Luke 24. Well, only Luke and John tells us this. Luke 24, verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Can you imagine that hardened encasement just laying there? No body in it. You just can't get out of one of those things, by the way. So we learn that the linen clothes, as they're called, laid by themselves. John tells us, I turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 4. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. That other disciple, by the way, is the one whom Jesus loved. Point number one, Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved came running. And Peter was the slowest. The other stooped down and saw the linen clothes lying, but he didn't go in. Peter went in, point number two, and saw the linen clothes lying also, and also the napkin that was about his head. It wasn't lying with the linen clothes, but was wrapped in a place by itself. What they saw caused them to believe. And it was amazing. They saw the burial atonement of hardened spices and mixture that still lay there. The translation says linen clothes, but we know that his body was prepared. What an amazing sight this must have been. We can't get the full picture until we review John one more time. John chapter 19, verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of it. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, and with spices. You see there, you have to put this stuff together, otherwise you never see it. As the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre. This was not Joseph of Arimathea's work, wherein was never man yet laid. Point number one, Nicodemus and the women, as we have already learned, took the body of Jesus with the 100 pounds of spices, wound the body in more linen clothes than what Joseph had done, because Joseph had already wrapped him in linen clothes, and applied the spices, all of them, and then buried him again. Number two, they buried him in another new tomb, this one in the garden by where he was crucified. There is no mention of the encasement, but there is mention of the linen clothes. Putting all of this together, we know that the clothes that Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved saw was both the linen and encasement of burial preparation. Joseph believed in the resurrection of Jesus after 3 days. Nicodemus and the women didn't. That's why they did what they did. Well, where do you stand today? Are you a Joseph or a Nicodemus? Do you believe in the return? Or do you think it won't happen? Joseph prepared as if it would. Nicodemus prepared his life as if it wouldn't. How do you go about your life? As if it will or as if it won't? Well, finally, in Mark chapter 16, we read the marvelous account of the resurrection itself. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath, Wednesday's Passover Sabbath, was passed, or that would be Thursday, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salmone had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Okay, now here's the resurrection experience. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, which was Sunday, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? They also knew that the guards that were watching the tomb would only be there 3 days. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid. And he saith unto them, don't be afraid. Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Most people keep him in the grave, but he is risen. He's not there. I was amazed a couple weeks ago on TV when they came out with the newscast that they thought they might have found Jesus' bones. Oh my gosh, how insane. I didn't even bother to watch it. He is not there. Behold the place where they laid him. And they wanted everybody to take a good look at that thing, those spices in that hardened case. Look, but he's not inside it. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. I taught you that last week, Jesus of Galilee. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. I imagine by this time they were thinking, maybe if we don't say anything, it'd just all go away. But no, it's not going away. It didn't go away then, and it's not going away now. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Remember the gardener? And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. They were mourning and weeping 3 days later. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Sounds so familiar. After that, he appeared in another form unto 2 of them, as they walked on the road to Emmaus and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And so we get upset because people don't believe. Look at what went on back then. Well, you've learned what happened after Jesus died, very specifically his burial. You learned that Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate, got permission to take Jesus' body off the stake, and wrapped his clothes, his body in linen clothes, and buried him in a tomb that he had made. All of that was done secretly. Then you learned of Nicodemus and the women. And they went and they took Jesus' body out of Joseph's tomb and prepared it with those spices and that mixture, and then put his body in a tomb that was close to the crucifixion site. And that's where the soldiers were sent to guard the tomb for the remaining 3-day, 3-night period. And once the 3 days, 3 nights was over, the guards were done with. They'd been kind of wiped out by then anyway. I didn't go into any of that. But the stone had been rolled away by the angels. You can read about that in John. And the angel was sitting in when the women came and said, "Hey, look, he's not here. He's risen." And so they didn't believe. They were afraid to even talk about it. Then all the accounts after that of him appearing to people, we found out that they didn't believe either. So don't be too upset because people don't believe in the resurrection. If you run into those kind of people, you believe, and therefore you have received eternal life. And so there you have it. What happened to Jesus after he died? The burial.